5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Justin James Show. I am your host, Justin James, and it is a pleasure to be with you this week. And I tell you, it's been a very challenging week for me, and I'm going to have to tell you, there's a lot going on in my life, and with school and just work and this podcast, and you know, there's a lot. And but you know, through God's strength, we can get through it. And I'm just going to just ask you to continue to keep me in prayer. If you'd like to be a part of the podcast, you're welcome to drop me an email. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And that is justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. I want to just do a shout out, first of all, to my friend Ross at the Orange Blood Project. It was a wonderful opportunity to come on your program, your podcast, and to be able to talk about church hurt. And if you want to look, take a listen to that, I recommend it. I'll actually put a link on the description of this podcast and check out his show. He's a great guy. He's actually an old classmate. We graduated together, and he's just doing extraordinary things with his program. But today, I want to talk about a few things. First of all, again, I try to do this once a week, and it's hard for me sometimes. But there was an interesting article that came out by the Christian Press, and there's the author of this is Samuel Smith, and in this he talks about a polling that Lifeway did. Lifeway Research recently released a new polling this month. Actually, it was in September the 30th. It was the end of September, as we're moving into October. And it was sponsored by the ERLC, which is the Ethic Religious Liberty Commission, by the Southern Baptist Convention. So think of the Southern Baptist Convention as a one giant umbrella. And then underneath the Southern Baptist Convention, there's different types of ministries. One of them is Lifeway, which is their publishing, their Sunday school. The other one is the course education, which you have six seminaries underneath there. And then you have the North American Mission Board, or NAM, and then you have the International Mission Board, or the IMB. And so you have those entities, and of course you have what we call Guidestone now, and there's a couple more little, I think, entities that I'm probably missing, and of course then after that you have your state conventions. So that's kind of the layout of this. Well, the ERLC explored this new poll, and I want to read you this poll because, first of all, it's really fascinating to me, and I want to really dive into the meat and potatoes of this poll because it tells me a lot what's going on within evangelicalism, or at least within the Southern Baptist, which the Southern Baptist is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. So if you take that and you kind of look at that as a Protestant thing with their ideas and some of the things that are kind of going on, you can kind of, how you say, filter that throughout all of all the Protestantism, if that's a new word, in the United States. So what's going on here is they explore the views of American evangelicals on politics, civility, and media consumption, and their engagements of those who have the opposing political ideas. Again, we do our political on this program, not because we're trying to be a political program. No, the whole idea of this program is how do we should think as Christians and how should we act as Christians. So we're dealing with a Christian worldview, and that's what this program is all about, and that's what I'm going to continue to do, and we're going to continue to look at it in the eyes of a Christian or the goggles of a Christian. And then we filtered it through, of course, automatically through the Word of God and then through other circumstances and other things that we need to do. There's a lot of social stuff going on out there. There's a lot of Christians that are totally anti-Trump. And I understand. I get it. I mean, we talked about this. I truly get it. I understand. However, when you look at what he's doing in the playing field or within the country, or so the idea of the politics idea, and within religious liberty, well, guess what? He's doing exactly what us as evangelicals want him to do. He's fighting against abortion, which is, we're going to get to that here in the middle of this poll, and he's also laying the foundation for more religious liberty. If you haven't heard his UN speech, go and take a listen to that. So there is some fundamental things in here where we're thinking, okay, we can kind of get behind this guy because it's kind of what we want, right? Well, all right, let's dive into the survey here. The survey was conducted last November, and it included responses from 1,317 evangelical respondents who were screened to distinguish between responses with evangelical beliefs, which was 933, and the response that who self-identified as evangelical Christians. Okay, so they were trying to, okay, what do they really believe it, or do they just identify with it? The respondent was significantly asked to identify three public policies that are concerned most important to you. The top answer for both of these identified evangelicals in response was evangelicals' belief was healthcare, 51%. Healthcare. All right. Second most common answer was at 49% of self-identified, and then 46% percent of those evangelical beliefs was the economy. Okay, so as we're breaking, and then of course the fourth was national security. That was while at 43% of self. So we have that. So we have the economy. So number one was healthcare. Number two was the economy. Well, I guess it's number two here. Then 4% of those evangelicals was national security. 41% of those was immigration. And then the other issues important to them, 39% response within evangelical beliefs were the same. Okay. And then 33% of both identify where the high or the lowest or one of the lowest was religious liberty was an important issue to them. Now, listen to this. 29% out of this group of 1,300 evangelicals believed the highlight of is abortion as an important issue. Okay, so only 29% was abortion was an important issue to them. All right. And then only 4% set response identified as LGBT rights as a political issue was the same to them, as important to them. Okay, so we have a interesting poll here. Within the poll, we can definitely see that the number one thing that is on evangelical minds when you're looking at public policy and how it relates to us is healthcare, okay? But yet abortion and religious liberty are on the very bottom of the list. Okay, I'm just drawing you a map. I want you to hold on to that. Let's go and go through this report. Less than 10% of the respondents surveyed that they support a political candidate depending on primary on the issues. 8 out of 10 respondents surveyed said they support depends on several issues. Despise most saying that they support depending on several issues. I love it when they just kind of repeat themselves, right? That they agree they will only support a candidate who wants to make abortion illegal, okay? So likely you have 42% to the 48% agree that, oh yeah, you know, we're going to support a candidate that's going to make abortion illegal. The survey also suggests that evangelicals care less about the causes thought to be issued of importance of the followers of Christ who were taught scripturally to feed the hungry and clothe the poor. All right. So again, we're talking about their healthcare. 29% identified evangelicals identified providing for the needy as an issue of political importance for them, while 22% of the respondents of evangelical belief said the same. Okay. And then 18% address racial division is important, and then while 21% said the same. Okay, set of priorities. White evangelicals are more likely to list abortion, religious liberty, national security, or immigration on the top of concern than African-American evangelicals or past Protestant. Okay, Miller added. American Africans are more likely to list helping the needy, healthcare, and racial injustice. So we definitely see a split there. So we see the white, abortion's the number one, religious liberty, national security, immigration. These are the top. If you look at the white evangelicals, the blacks, or not the African Americans, they will say, hey, wait a minute. No. Helping the needy is number one, healthcare, racial injustice. And then that's how they list it within the survey. Evangelicals have increasingly been associated in the media with Donald Trump, social conservative principles. However, the survey shows less than 48% of respondents with evangelicals believe consider themselves to be Republican, while only 50% of themselves identified as a part of the GOP. 31% of the respondents of evangelical beliefs said that they were Democrats, okay, with 18% saying they were independents. So this is interesting, okay? So we're saying that, okay, we have 48%, the majority of this group identifies with the GOP or Republican. 31% said, hey, listen, we're Democrats, and then 18% says we're independents. 5% of the respondents believe that they affiliate with another party or not sure, so, okay. 62% of the respondents who voted said they voted for Donald Trump, okay, in 2016, and then who self-identified evangelicals who voted there were not much difference, as 64% said who they voted for Trump. Meanwhile, 30% respondents of evangelical belief voted, they said they voted for Hillary Clinton. That's, again, if you really see what's going on and you really understand anything going on in the Democratic Party because of their view of abortion, and some of the in a gay marriage and some of these really issues that are really attacking the identity of the church. I mean, this is not just some, oh yeah, this is just some flake thing. This is actually them attacking the identity and the purpose of the church. And then on top of that, the purpose of what marriage is within that. So I want you to understand this. And 31% said, hey, yeah, we voted for Hillary Clinton. Okay, all right. 80% said they voted for Trump. The results of the polling are clearly encouraging, frequently surprising, in some cases are very indicating. Russell Moore, who's the president, said, with this polling clearly shows that there is a forces divide the church apart from one another. That shouldn't be surprised us, but it certainly convinces us. The survey had a margin of 3.6% of those respondents of. So, all right, so let's kind of break this poll down a little bit. Let's talk about this. We have, again, on the top, we have two, they're dividing, first of all, they're saying, okay, we have the white evangelicals and we got the black evangelicals. I'm sorry, it's not simple as black and white there. Because you don't have just white and black evangelicals. You have evangelicals. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It's a matter of where your heart is. And I'm tired of this race dividing issue. I'm tired of it. I have multiple different countries and origins running through my blood. I'm British. I have Irish. I'm Native American. I don't know what else. So I am what you consider a mutt. And so when I'm filling something out and it asks me, hey, what race do you want to be? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I guess I'm going to be, you know, Native American. And I can put that. I'm a Native American. Hey, I want to put, you know, I'm white. I can put that. Hey, you know, if I want to put whatever. I'm Jewish, you know, because my Lord was Jewish. There's all kinds of different things that I can put on there. And so I'm just tired of this racial divide period. Are you with me on that? I understand where you're looking at identity cards, where you have to have kind of a description of what you look like. I understand that. But some of it, I think it's just, to me, it's just, they're trying to get the data in to say, hey, well, okay, we have to make sure we have this and this and this. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Are you agreeing with me on that? You disagree with me on that? Okay, email me. Okay, but here's the thing. So the top answer was healthcare. That's the number one thing was healthcare. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean when you're thinking about healthcare? Well, it's, of course, we're dealing with medical, doctor's expenses. We're dealing with, kids that are sick. We had to take them to the doctor, take them to the urgent care centers, or take them to a hospital, ER, all of these equations. We got to buy medicine. I get it. Healthcare is expensive, especially if you have a family. I get it. But should it be our number one priority? I mean, should it be? I mean, one of the things I was talking with, I was talking with one of my professors about this one day, and we were talking about it in class, and he made a comment. He said, as a Christian, we don't talk about healing all the time. In fact, healing is kind of a forbidden subject within Christianity, especially in the United States. Now, you go outside the United States, I mean, they're talking about healing and praying for the sick, and they are, like, they're on it. They understand it probably more than American Christians. And you could probably understand why. They probably don't have the healthcare system infrastructure that we have in the United States. I mean, just down the road from where I live, I have five urgent cares. I have access to three hospitals within probably, 20 miles of each other. State-of-the-art hospitals. Every city has a major hospital, or three or four, especially if you live in the DFW area like I do. I mean, we got Parkland, we got Baylor, we got Methodist, we got St. Paul, which I think they changed their name. We got UT Southwestern. We got JPS in Fort Worth. I mean, we got a lot of going on there. I get it. I understand the infrastructure of that. But for Christians to identify healthcare as being the number one thing that they think about with public policy, don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know if that data is actually really scary for me. And because we shouldn't, when you look at the other policies in place, it's, yeah, I could see how it could be at the top, but not the first, especially when you're dealing with public policy. Then the other aspect of that is, how do we look at healthcare? How do we need to examine this healthcare system within that? I'll tell you that right after this break.
Justin James.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater. Are you ready for game day?
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. and churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call. 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omadinaerialphotography.com. Omadin Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
All right, welcome back. Now, let me just tell you, I had a chance to hang out with Joe a little bit over the last few days. And I'm going to tell you, he got some great specials going on. And if you really, really want that, get your living room or your theater room or whatever ready for these games. I'm going to tell you, have they been some good football games or what? And they've been incredible. They've been a fight. I tell you what, that L.A. Browns game a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, oh, wow. I mean, that was literally a nail-biter game. I didn't know who was going to win. All I know was it was just a great game to watch. And if you really want to upgrade your system, you need to call Joe right now. And so he can be able to hook you up with whatever you need. So as we're getting, before the break, we're talking about this poll. And we're talking about the healthcare. And I want to give you a little bit of opinion on this. I think that, first of all, if we have evangelicals pointing to this as the system, healthcare, economy, national security, immigration, religious liberty, and then abortion, I think our priorities are really offset. One, because think about it. I mean, this is the way I was taught this, and this is actually true. Every day, we have 3,000 babies die because of abortion. 3,000. Now, you do the math on that. That is a lot of life being taken. And we, as the United States, are literally standing up and applauding it. Now, I don't know if you saw this video or not, but AOC was having a town hall there at the Bronx, Queens, and one of her voters got up and said, hey, because of climate change, you know, literally we have to start eating our babies. That's a problem, because when you look at what this country is literally heading down, I think what we need to do is we need to be, you know, kind of not put it on ourselves. I know that. I get it. I understand it. When we get to a certain situation, we drop the ball and we say, you know what? No. I can't do that. I don't want to serve my other man. I don't want to do that. What about my needs, Lord? What about my needs? And I understand. We get in those environments where we immediately don't want to reach out and help other people's needs. I get that. I understand that. And we want to focus on our needs. We want to focus on our finances. We want to focus on ours. But here's the thing. Where's the attention going to? It's going to us. And I was talking with a dear friend of mine actually two days ago. We had a good conversation. And we were talking about how a lot of Christians these days, especially ministers, and we put it on us. Hey, everybody, look at me. I got a new shiny little book. There's nothing wrong with writing books. There's nothing wrong with trying to get your idea out there. But when you are trying to market your book in the pulpit or use your church as a marketing way of marketing your own stuff, you're crossing a really bad ethical line. So, and then on top of that, when we don't want to stand on biblical truth, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have some friends that are going to be mad at me, but I don't care. When you don't want to stand on biblical truth and you just decide to turn the other cheek while you know that you are literally spitting on biblical truth because you yourself don't want to get in trouble, that's wrong. Go back and read John chapter 2. Look what John the Baptist said. They came to him. Wait a minute. Whoa, what's going on? Look what Jesus is doing. He said, hey guys, let me tell you something. I must decrease so that he can increase. In other words, my ministry must die. My ministry was to set up his ministry, and that's it. I already did that. What a humbling revelation from John the Baptist. So am I saying that healthcare, the idea that we're looking at healthcare as a major political problem within our country, as the number one thing that evangelicals look at, is I'm saying that it's selfish? Yes. Why we have other major problems that we need to face at. And a lot of it is, and I hear it all the time, well, we've been fighting this war now for the last almost, since 1960s, and it's not going away. Well, here's the problem, church. If we decide to really fix the problem and get behind whatever issue that we have, we're going to be able to fix it. The problem is that right now the church is so divided because we're trying to make everything else than what it really is. We have major problems within the families. I know it. I've seen things within churches. I've been a part of church administration. I know what's going on. I'm not blind here. And neither are you. Don't turn your eye on this. Healthcare, number one, abortion last. I think our priorities are definitely shifted. Religious liberty, second to the bottom of the list. Let me tell you something. Without our religious liberty, we can't do what we have here. We can't have church. In fact, it's these, I hate to say it, it's these socialists, and I'm putting parentheses up, that want to say the state needs to be your religion. Listen to their rhetoric. Have you listened to them? Well, this is what they say. Everyone needs to pay. We need to take care of everyone. We need to take care of everyone. We. Okay, I get that. All right. That's a very enabling thing to do. You want to take care of your neighbor. That is absolutely a true biblical principle. No question about that. The question is, how? We don't use government to do it. We use the church to do it. The church is the one that does it. The church is the one that reaches out and takes care of your neighbor. And I'm not talking about the church on the corner. No, I'm talking about the body of Christ that's listening to this podcast. That's the church. If you're part of, if you are a Christian, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are part of the church. And honestly, I don't care what denomination you fall into. You're part of the church. Jesus didn't set up denominations. Now, I understand why and the reason why we have denominations. I get that. I do. But we're all part of the church. We're all part of this whole body of Christ. And if we can lock arms and focus on what's really important, which is I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself, I guarantee you we're not going to have some of these issues on here. And I'm going to try to protect religious liberty, and I want to protect life. And again, I hear it all. Oh, Justin, you don't care about the teenager. You don't care about the children. You just care about the babies. No, no, I'm serious. I hear that. That's one of the arguments for pro-choice. The problem is, and I keep on pushing this, and is no. To be pro-life means that you believe that the life is precious from conception all the way to death. And I'm talking the full life span of that person's life. All the way from the day that they're born to the day that they walk, they talk, they graduate high school, they graduate college, they grow old, they have kids, all the way up until the Lord decides to take them. That is what I mean by being pro-life. Every life is precious. I mean, that's not too hard to comprehend, is it? But apparently it is. But yeah, it's unspeakable of the fact that we look at these survey. Now, the economy, so again, it's all about, when you look at this, I can definitely see it's more of me, 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 me. Now, one thing that I really see here that I really enjoyed in this is the African-American evangelicals. This is really interesting to me because I think they understand it probably better than the white evangelicals, because they're more likely to what? The helping the needy. Healthcare is number two, and then racial injustice. Now, I look at things in a different with racial injustice. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about this later in the show because I'm in DFW and we got to talk about Amber Gagger. But this helping the needy, this is important. But again, when we look at what's going on with social justice, when we look at social theology and we put social theology above, above theology. Well, no, Justin, you don't understand. No, no, no. You don't get it. That is theology. No, 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 no. Exactly. No, 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 no. Not really. Because our first theology needs to be at how our relationship is with God. And then the second relationship is, of course, how we interact with one another with that relationship with God. Because what? The whole purpose is what? To go and make disciples. Okay, that's it right there. There's no ifs or buts or questions about that. So I think that they understand that themselves need to be last. But again, I don't know. This racial injustice thing, listen, I get it. Oh, yeah, you don't understand. No, I'm Native American. Don't give me that. They took our lands. They marched us on the trails of tears. In fact, I'll have to do another show on that. But I know more about that than probably some other people. And I was talking with. Never mind. We'll just put that. We'll just side that right now. But the point is that when you look at this, this is actually really, our priorities are really messed up. And so, what is causing that? And I'm gonna say it. I think it's the pastors. I think it's the pastors. I think it's the way that we look at media. I think of what's going on and being preached in our churches. When you have pastors preaching more about social aspects of things than actually what the Word of God says and how we should be able to have a relationship with God. And on top of that, what really discipleship making looks like. I really think that's where the hookup is. I really, really do. Because it shouldn't be like this. Now, I just to go back, I'm going to piggyback off this because I might want to come back to this. But again, if you want me to really examine that, I mean, this is crazy. This is there's something wrong with these numbers. And I'm going to tell you, it's because they're not getting it. They're not getting it. And a lot of it's because of prosperity gospel. Where's the true authentic Christian preaching? And we're not getting that. I'm sorry. I know a lot of great preachers but apparently the mark is being missed. when you had Union Seminary a couple of weeks ago, you probably saw this, had chapel, and they had plants laid out there at the chapel where the altar's at, and they had the kids come and they kneel and they confess their sins to these plants because they have violated the plants. Yeah, I don't think that's, I think they missed the idea where we get to subdue the earth, where God gives us control of that. And, you know, we use things to build things. We use the trees to build things. Yes, it's beautiful for us, but it grows back. I think it gets a little bit, how you say, way overboard. Okay, I mean, I get it. I understand. I mean, I love being in the forest. I love going out and walking around. I get it. So, all right, let's go to Amber Geiger here because I need to talk about this. If you haven't seen the video of the brother, remember, Amber Geiger was a police officer here in Dallas, and she walked into the wrong apartment, and unfortunately she thought it was hers. Boyathan, he got up. I mean, he was sad. It was the middle of the night, you know, it was about 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. He was, you know, in his shorts and his t-shirt, you know, getting ready for bed, watching TV, eating a bowl of ice cream. And of course, Amber comes in, and Amber thought it was an apartment. And so she opened fire. She felt threatened. And, it's really sad. I mean, it was a really sad case. Well, if you know, cause you keep in line, you know that she got convicted of murder, which first of all, my personal thoughts on that was I definitely don't think the jury understand what murder was. There was no intent. Definitely manslaughter. I can definitely see that. But they wanted to go with murder, and it was an emotional thing. And we're seeing that with the jurors starting to come out now to the media. But all of this, but then the brother did something extraordinary in the courtroom. And what the brother did was he pretty much told Amber in the courtroom, I forgive you. And then asked the judge permission to hug her. It was extraordinary. And let's see if we have the audio here, because I think you should hear this if you haven't heard this.
And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but Can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
That's Amber crying in the background. And that's what forgiveness is supposed to look like. And I know that was probably really hard for him. In the video, Amber grabs him and embraces him again. Because he kind of okay, we hugged her. And he kind of slowly kind of backed off. But Amber grabbed him and brought her back into her arms and just bawled. And later on, the judge then comes out after the sentencing and gives her a Bible, her personal Bible, and says, hey, listen, I hope that you understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he only gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And she hugged Amber after the trial. This was all after the trial. And so where you see everything in the media, and I'm just going to repeat what everybody hears, is God really used this last part of the trial here to show what forgiveness looks like. And sin is nasty, but forgiveness and this type of love and this type of acceptance is what us Christians are supposed to do. And I mean, I get that. I mean, that's devastating to lose a loved one in this tragedy. I mean, wow. But now of course, the atheists are all up in arms because the judge gave her a Bible and told her to live a life of John 3:16 and gave her a hug. So apparently there's separation of church and state. Well, the trial was over. She wasn't doing it necessarily as a judge of the trial. She was doing it as a human being, to embrace another human being and to do it as a way of being a stamp of Christ into Amber's life. And so I don't care that. And of course, there's going to be some more and more coming out of this, and as the anti-theists are going to throw a fit about it, and they're going to throw a fit about it, because separation of church and state. The problem is, it's nowhere in the Constitution. I know, I read it. It is nowhere in the Constitution, and you can't say it. You can't show it to me. In fact, that's not what Thomas Jefferson said to the Connecticut Baptist Association or the convention when he wrote the letter and he talked about it. He said, no. We as the state are not going to oppose on religious liberty. So again, it's not where the churches cannot oppose on the government. It's more where the government cannot going to oppose on religious liberty. So it's kind of a flip there. But again, who care? You know, why do they care? Because they're not going to care about truth, unfortunately. That's just the way it is. Man. So think about this. This whole aspect of what I've read to you from the beginning of this podcast all the way to here. Are you being selfish? Are you being selfish? Are you being selfish for your own personal gratification? Are you being selfish for your own economy? Do you not know how to give? Oh yeah, Justin, I give in my church. No, I'm not talking about just giving your tithe. I'm talking about giving yourself, pouring yourself into other people. Understanding this is not about us. It's not about us. It's about Christ living through us. And it's about us taking the stands and the hard ones that we need to do. And you know what? If abortion is the last thing that evangelicals care about, that's a problem. Healthcare and economy are the top two. To me, that's a problem. Well, no, Justin, you don't understand. You don't fucking no. I get it. I understand. But here's the thing: doesn't God always provide? Doesn't God always make a way? Doesn't God heal? Doesn't God somehow show up in your darkest part of your life, where you feel like you have nothing left? He shows you the light in the darkness of your world? Are you trusting in him? Fully and faithfully? Are you leaning into him? And taking a stand on biblical truth? Telling the people around you, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, and therefore I'm going to proclaim his truth? Murder is wrong? Are you going to do that, or are you going to do the other thing? Me. Look at my situation. Look at my situation. Look at my bills. Look at my this. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. I don't drive this car. I don't have this house. I don't have this. I see it. I know it. I see what's going on. But if this young man understands the gospel so much where he's going to forgive this lady for killing his brother, and the judge does this, where are we at? Where are you at? Well, that's all the time I have, unfortunately, and it is great. It's always a pleasure of being with you every week, and I hope that you tune in. Again, if you have any questions, you're welcome to go to the Justin James Show or go to Justin James or email me at justinjames @gmail.com, the Justin James Show @gmail.com. And from there, you can email me, and I'll check your emails, and I'll read them. And I got some really exciting guests coming up. I've been reaching out to some really fun people, and hopefully we get some more fun guests coming up. And make sure you check out the podcast, the Orange Blue Project, or the Orange Blood Project, or the Blood Orange Project. Anyway, it's in the link. You'll see it. From there with Ross. It's a really awesome program. And from there. So in the meanwhile, you take care. Have a great weekend. God bless you. And we will talk with you next week.
Justin James.